thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Tonight, we will be in the fourth book of the Bible, the book of Numbers. We'll be in Numbers chapter 21. And when Denny come to preach the word this morning about the Israelites, my ear perked up. Tonight, I'm preaching on the Israelites, different part of their life. But I sat there, I was so encouraged, being blessed of what Denny shared with us today. Numbers 21. Wee bit of background of what has happened here. These Israelites were coming to the final phase of their time of crossing into Canaan. They thought everything was going good and they had the wind behind them and they were making their way to a place called Edom. And if you look back in Numbers 20, you'll find that there was a dispute and the king would not let them pass through the good land where they could eat and enjoy. And Moses said, "We'll look after your ground, just let us pass through." And the king said, "You're not coming through." This was a big problem for the people of Israel. First of all, they had to change direction. The second thing, they got uncomfortable. And they done what a lot of us do when we get to that stage. They started to moan. And we know what that was like. The king's highway was the way everybody passed in days gone past. Through this, the king said, "You're not coming through." These people got angry and they got rebellious and they forgot all the good things that God had done for them. They were so miserable, they forgot that God was guiding these people by a pillar of cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by night. The parting of the Red Sea, the Israelites walked through it. God collapsed the enemy in among it when they were fleeing for their life. But when things started to go against them, they forgot all the good things that God had done for them. Let me remind you of a few things that happened during this walk. Moses threw a piece of wood into water that was bitter, and it became sweet and drinkable. Imagine doing that the day if the chlorine in the house wasn't too good the day and you went, tastes better now. This was the power of God in action. Later, Moses spoke to a rock and struck it in frustration, and water came out of it. My favorite one. Their clothes and their shoes never wore out. Fancy that now. God protected them and their clothes and their shoes. That's a nice wee jumper yawn today. 35 years old. This is how God provided for these people. Yet, when they got to this stage, they get miserable and they get rebellious. They forgot the goodness of God. The Hebrew name for the book of Numbers in English is the desert. And it's a good name for it because it's all about the story of God's people in the wilderness, in a desert. But it also tells about the grace and the mercy of our awesome God. If you've got your Bible, we're going to read from Numbers chapter 21. We'll begin at verse 4 and read through to verse 9. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth the light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make you a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he looked up at the serpent of brass, he lived. We'll end the reading there at verse 9. These people got themselves into a stage and a situation of self-pity. They grew weary and they just couldn't grasp what was happening while they were making their way across this journey. First of all, they were lost and they brought heartache among themselves. And this happens in our lifetime. We'll have times in our life where we'll have to change directions, make new changes. Could be school, could be university, it could be a relationship, it could be your health, it could be the death of a family member. These are things that happen on our journey, on our Christian walk. When we change direction, our thinking changes. But as Denny says today, we look up. We look to the one who is the author and the finisher, the sustainer of our faith, the one who said, I will never leave you, never forsake you, same yesterday, today, and forever. These is the position that these Israelites were in. They come to Moses and said, this food's not good enough. But they were fed directly by who? God himself. Now, if God was feeding me every morning and I was waking up and there was a breakfast sitting for me there, I would say, thank you, God. But we have a spiritual breakfast that God provides for us every day in our spiritual journey, his word. The only way you'll ever taste it, the only way you'll digest it, if you read it and absorb it. The same thing for us as we walk the Christian journey. Complaining will always rob us of blessings. And these people had many disputes with each other, I've no doubt. And you see, today, Christians have opinions of each other. They do. Some don't even like us. And my advice to that is, forget it, park it, move on. Don't let things start to annoy you in your spiritual mind. Move on. These Israelites ran from their lives when Pharaoh let them go. The last plague, I'm sure you remember in Scripture that they done the lintels and the doorposts of their houses, and if they hadn't it done and the destroying angel came through, the child in that house died. And when Moses told the people what to do and Pharaoh saw the results of no blood being applied, he let the children go. Let this nation run. What were they doing and what were they running from? They were brick builders. They were in construction. They were in land irrigation, farming. Doing these things that they didn't want to do because they were under a different religion that they didn't want to live under. And Moses says, I need these people to get out of here. And imagine these people seeing The water's opening, running for their life. And then Pharaoh changed his mind. Go and get them. Go and get them. And the Lord waited till the armies come in to the dry land. How he done it? Was it with the wind or I've spoken what he done? But he destroyed the enemy as he chased him. We tonight can find ourselves in this situation. I want to remind you about things that the Lord has done for you and done for me. Answered our prayers. What about the time God made a way when you saw no way? When you're in a hospital bed and everybody had left the room, visitors had all gone, and your head's on the pillow, and you look up and you say, God, what's next? What's next? We read it in the prayer request when you pray for healing and healing for others, and God comes through with a yes. This is who our God is. These are just some of the examples that we live with and have to remind ourselves that God has not forgotten about us and he answers prayer. But we still can get anxious and miserable. There are times in our Christian walk, and I've lived it long enough to know this, we can hit a spiritual wilderness. I'm so excited with the youth tonight because yous are on fire. Hey, man, it's been good. And yous have been blessed. God is good. There is a time when we'll hit the wilderness. What is that? This is why it's important for yous to stay together, because iron sharpens iron. It's always important, young people, do what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Because there's going to be a day you're going to feel lonely. You're just going to feel, does God hear anything I've got to say? I'm struggling with my Christian walk. I'm sitting in church. There's a smile on my face, but I'm hurting inside. And we have to identify this with our friends and Christian brothers and sisters. That's in the wilderness. These people were in the wilderness. But I've good news. The spiritual wilderness doesn't last forever. It has its end. God will never abandon us in the wilderness. He'll walk with you from the start to the finish. Even when we think we're not going to get to the finish, I've got your back. I've got it. But the important thing is, friends, tonight, we can't walk this spiritual wilderness on the strength of ourselves. We've got to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We were talking about it in the door tonight. I was asking a few of them about relentless. My favorite verse, and it's one of many, to as many as received him, that's too many as received Jesus into their life, God give them power. Power to become the sons of God. This is what he releases into us, power. But we've got to engage this power. It's like putting on a light switch. The light will not come on unless we walk over and hit the switch. God will not activate within us unless we come to him. And how do we connect ourselves with God? We pray and we ask. The wilderness will not last forever. These Israelites, they're in the wilderness and their faith had gone. What was the consequences for the rebellion? It was punishment. God set serpents among all these people. Can you grasp this for a minute or two? Trying to walk on an old dusty road, and the next thing you look down, there's snakes coming at you at 100 miles an hour. I don't know what they do, but they're pretty fast. Then these snakes started biting these people and killing them. That's how sin affects us today in the Christian walk, friends. When we leave this church today, you've been your place of work, school, holiday time, whatever you're doing. You are walking and you're facing sin head on. It's all around you. It's all around us. We've got to keep our guard up. And these guys were in the same place. Snakes was eating them and killing them. They realized that they needed the protection of God. And here was the confession. The people came to Moses and admit that we have sinned because we have spoken against all the goodness that God has been to us. And with the confession come the request. They begged Moses, take the snakes away. Take them away. They're killing us. Take them away. Moses prayed for the people, demonstrating godly leadership and mercy. But God didn't remove them at once. God told Moses to make a bronze snake and hold it up in a pole. This got me because I kept thinking about this and I went, why was that? Moses made a brass snake and put it up on a pole. The exact image of the snakes that was killing and biting the people. And when they looked up at them, this pole, they got cured. And they no longer died. You see, Jesus came into the world, the Son of Man, yet the Son of God, yet he come in our likeness. This Jesus, he come in our likeness. And when we look up at him, he saves us when we come and call upon his name. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 3, if we can, for a few minutes. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Well-known piece of scripture, well-known chapter. And I'll talk you through it for a minute or two. You can imagine Jesus sitting down at night and Nicodemus coming to Jesus and come over to him. He says, no man could do these miracles except God be with him. Nicodemus started well. He witnessed that there was something supernatural happening around Jesus' life. He witnessed the healings. He witnessed people testifying of the miracles that Jesus was doing. Jesus brings him over and he says, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This was something that Jesus put to Nicodemus. When we get down to verse 12, the conversation continues. And Jesus looks at Nicodemus and he says, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And here we are, back again to Numbers 21, because Jesus knew it well. John 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, this is Jesus telling Nicodemus, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus took time in his conversation with Nicodemus to remind him about Moses, holding up this serpent, because he himself was going to be lifted up as a sin bearer, the person that was going to defeat sin and hell, the one who was going to defeat the death, grave, and rise again. But he had to be lifted up first. Jesus, the Son of the living God. I'm sure Nicodemus looked at Jesus and went, everything I learned didn't mean anything. That you are going to be lifted up as the sin bearer of the world. These people could not grasp Jesus Christ sitting down beside them and Jesus sharing this word with them. Jesus was sharing numbers with them. Moses, I'm going to be lifted up. Imagine that conversation. Didn't grasp it. You see, Jesus was the source of the rescue. He was in the place of the snake as the source of the healing. The source of the rescue from the poison of sin and the wrath of God. Jesus is the source for us for eternal life. What I'm saying is Moses lifted up the snake, but Moses is not the rescuer or the savior. In the same way, Jesus sets up the comparison to Nicodemus. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Who lifted Jesus up? Who lifted our Savior up? Scripture will tell us who lifted Jesus up. And there's only one place you can identify it at the minute is in John's Gospel. These are the Pharisees. They said to Jesus, when we have you lifted up the Son of Man, you will know that I am He. Jesus is telling them, when you've lifted me up, you will know who I am. These Pharisees had planned to execute Jesus very early on. And Jesus told them, the Son of Man, you will know when you lift them up that I am He. In Numbers, the one who saves us is God by the means of the snake. The brass serpent pointed to Calvary in the Old Testament. But they had to look up and they had to respect God for who He was. Knowing that God's word said, you look up to the brass serpent, I will save you. The New Testament is telling us what Jesus said. When you see this Jesus lifted up, you will know that I am He. I'm saying to you tonight, unsaved person, you need to look up. You need to look to the Savior for salvation. There's no other way. No other way. We will be back to the journey in a minute or two. I've lived long enough, and I want to tell you something. Death is a very real thing. Death is not nominated to a human being by a number. We don't get a choice. It's nice to everything go well and everything good and live to your 100 and it's great and you just have bad health the day before you die. That'd be some life, wouldn't it? But life is not like that. Today is the day of salvation. I'm standing in the building tonight. I've unsaved family members. So have you. And we pray into God moving and speaking into their lives and saving them. I was once on a prayer list. So are you. Somebody took time to pray you into the kingdom. I'm encouraging you tonight to pray your family into the kingdom. Pray them in. Make it an everyday thing. Pray them into the kingdom. Then they can stand and be in among us and say, "You prayed for me." And what is that? We all tonight are the evidence of answered prayer. Because God answered their prayer. And here we are tonight on a gospel service. We could have been anywhere else, but we're here in church. That's how good our God is. He's a God who is faithful. The wages of sin is death. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm here to say tonight, while there's breath in your body, stop running. The biggest lie of hell to an unsaved person is you have plenty of time. You don't know how much time you've got, neither do I. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing. Believers, we're in this journey tonight. I need to be here as much as you need to be here. I need to take my seat, sit down there and worship God and be blessed with the preaching of the Word of God and looking over at my Christian friends, having a chit-chat. That's good. That's healthy spiritual living. That's when you come in and don't get yourself engaged and feel lost and feel unwanted. Got to embrace everybody and show them we're your friends and support them. The good news is tonight, church, these people made it to Canaan's land. They got there. It was a struggle. But they did get there. Joshua 21, verse 43, "And the Lord God gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it." And they dwelt there. They got there. We heard it all this morning. But you see, the good thing about God is, you see, when you start off on a journey, all your plans and intentions is what you've got. But there's sometimes God throws a curveball in. And when that comes into your life, there's two things we do. We step back. What has just happened? And then are we stepping more back or are we stepping forward and going to walk into it? These are the things that will happen to us on our Christian walk. The Christian walk's a good walk. I thank God many mornings when I get up that I'm alive and well and blessed. Shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, a roof over my head, a few pound. And it is a few pound. But God has blessed us. See, when you start to feel miserable, let me tell you something, you could be worse off. You could be worse off. And tonight, as believers in Jesus Christ, I'm here to encourage you tonight. Keep doing what you're doing. Young people, keep doing what you're doing. Enjoy this moment in time. Enjoy this time where you're all together and praising God, and it's great. It really is. That you're so young in your life and you're engaging, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, praising God. That's all we can ask for. But again tonight, I remind you, if you're still without Christ tonight in this building and without hope, you need to make that decision. You need to make that decision yourself. Sitting in a pew will never take you to heaven. Doing good will never take you to heaven. Paying into church will never take you to heaven. They're all good things, admirable things. But we need to come and call upon the name of Jesus for our salvation. We need to see him and look up and see who he is. As the Israelites saw the way out, the brass serpent. That was the end of the suffering for them. They lived. But today in this world we live in, the things that keep people from coming and calling upon the name of Jesus, they're too comfortable. They have everything they need. And there's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. Nice stuff doesn't count when you look Jesus in the eye. It doesn't count. Got to come. Call upon the name of Jesus for your salvation. Best thing I've ever done. Joy in my heart. Joy in my soul. And that's what Christian walking is all about. I encourage you tonight. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.